Welcome everybody to Lais and the Coach. And once again, we've been gone for way too long, but we are back. We are going to wrap up 2023 with
2022.
We're going to wrap up 2022 with a bunch of interviews because the contest season just closed. And this particular interview has been months in the making because we've been trying to talk to Tiffany since August.
Yes.
So Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is a Team Forever athlete and has just done her second show in Atlantic City with us this weekend that just passed. And we are gonna dive into all of the things that went into getting ready for the show, being a mom, being a wife, navigating through life, and still getting it done. So let's go all the way back, Tiff, to when you started.
Okay.
Because when you started, you did not originally start with the idea of stepping on stage.
No, I wasn't ready.
So what made you get started in the first place?
So I've always worked out, and I've worked with several different trainers, but mainly all the trainers that I've worked with in the past treat everyone as one. So like they have one workout for everyone. And I just wasn't getting to where I wanted to be. And then, my daughters and I did a beauty pageant, which is where I met Jen Donahue. And then once she competed, I'm like, girlfriend, I need to know all of your tricks, which us who work out, we know there's the tricks is actually doing the work. But that's when she introduced me to you guys. And then I did the Metamorphosis project. And then that's I came right for the photo shoot and everybody was like, so when are you competing? I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready. And so that's where it all started.
So just to give everyone a little bit of context, the Metamorphosis Project is a project that we ran this year a couple of times for anybody who was in our program that was working on their fitness goals but weren't getting on stage or weren't thinking about the stage. They just wanted to transform and they wanted to have an experience that allowed them to do a little bit more than just get the outcome, right? Like put outfits together, have an outside of your comfort zone experience, and we put a photo shoot together for those people.
Yeah.
And Tiffany was one of those people, lifestyle program. And she was getting ready for that, but she came to her photo shoot weekend for Metamorphosis, which was joint with a Team Forever photo shoot weekend experience. So all the team members were here. And when everybody saw Tiffany, they were like, hello, like you have to compete.
Right.
And that's how, you know, just to give context on what the Metamorphosis project even is.
Yeah. And then we all went out to dinner that night. And after a couple mojitos, my husband and Lais thought it was a great idea for me to jump on the stage at Worlds.
Yes.
And sure enough, you know, how different, you know, here's the thing, like one of the things that we hear, and I'm sure at this point you hear it all the time, is that people think that getting ready for the stage is a big sacrifice and you're Tupperware all the time. How different was it in comparison to what we were doing before? And I guess for you.
So I guess into there really isn't comparison at all. Working with you guys was totally different than working with anybody else. You actually pay attention to each individual person and how that affects. Like we've all heard the stories of asparagus and tilapia and all this other stuff. And so going into it was totally different because I mean, for Worlds, going up to Worlds, I think it was a month out. I was like, there's still alcohol on my plan. like we would go out with friends and they're like, you're about to step on stage and you just ordered French fries. I'm like, listen, I'm just doing what I'm told, like on this piece of paper. And they're like, I mean, it's still a joke with my friends. They're like, oh, so your trainer meets you at the gym? I'm like, no, they live in Orlando. And they're like, so you just follow what he sends you? I'm like, yeah, that's it. Like, you just have to do it and you have to execute it. And so the one great thing is all the check-ins. You know, everybody I've worked with in the past, you literally, I've sent them before pictures. And that's it. Months later, I haven't sent pictures. I haven't sent food plans, nothing. And then before I met you guys, I was doing everything through my fitness pal. And you figure out your own. And so, I mean, I would sit here on Sundays for like 3 hours trying to figure out what I was going to eat for the week and doing meal plans and what workouts should I do. And then finally, when I met Jen, she was like, oh no, they do all the work for you. And I was like, you're kidding. And she's like, no. And I was like, yes. And so it's amazing. I mean, my whole family even knows like the thing now. You know, my husband does majority of the cooking and our scale never leaves the counter. So
that's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
How's it been? Like, again, it's almost like we always talk about misconceptions, but how's it been like in that aspect, navigating through having a family and work and prepping for this? Like, does it feel like you're giving up a lot of things as a result of having this goal?
No, because so we run several businesses. I have three teenage girls. We just built our dream house with our own bare hands. So the only thing in my life that is structured is this, is my workouts. Every day I get up, I take my kids to school, I go to the gym. I know a lot of people sometimes don't have that ability. I have a girlfriend who gets up every morning at 4 a.m. and goes to the gym. I wish I could do that. That doesn't happen. I can't do it. And so it's perfect. There's a lot of people who can work out at night. Well, I know that if I miss my workout in the morning, I'm not going, because there is no telling what is going to happen from the time that I leave my kids at school till nighttime. And then at that point you're like, well, my husband is home from work on the couch. I'm not going to the gym. Like, I want to sit down, which never happens anyways. There is no sitting down time. But
the idea is nice.
Yes. The idea is fabulous, but, it's the only thing on my everyday that never changes. And so I have to have something that is structured.
Do you think that that's one of the reasons that a lot of other people may not succeed in different programs? Cause it's not like a constant?
Yes, it's not a priority for sure. But like, if I don't work out for 3 days, my family is like, okay, seriously, you have got to go somewhere. Like it is my therapy. It's just everything. It's the only thing that keeps me going, especially mentally.
Right.
But
that's such a big
part. I don't think, I think that that's an important thing. I don't think enough people really realize how much it pours into you.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about that a lot. Like, the workout should kind of fill you, right? Like, because you're doing, at the end of the day, you really do forget the goal. Like, you're still doing something that's good for you, yes, right? You're exercising.
Healthy.
But I don't think that a lot of times people like put at the forefront that you're doing a good thing and that it's pouring back into you. And then as a result, you're going to show up better for everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like people look at it like, well, I don't have time for that. It's like,
right.
The opposite, like you should make time for that so that you could show up better to do all the other things.
100%. Right. Well, I even have people at the gym. They're like, oh my God, I wish I could have your body. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm every day you're here and you show up, I'm here. And even one time this girl says, oh, you're probably one of those girls who measures her food. And I'm like, it absolutely amazes me when people say that, because you still take the plate out of the drawer or out of the cabinet and set it on the counter to make your plate. So why not put it on a scale? Like, I just,
that's such a good way to put it, because that is a hot topic. Like, well, I can't measure my food like every day. And your argument is usually my favorite, which is like, everything that we do that matters, like, we measure, right? Like, we all know how much money we have in the bank, how much is coming in, how much is going out, the bills that we have to pay. If we're going to go on a vacation, we structure it. Like,
how much gas is in the tank.
Everything is measured and structured in a way, like, everything that matters. And it's like, what you're putting into your body, your health, your well-being, like, why is that such a hassle?
Right.
When everything else is supposed to be measured and quantified and paid attention to. But that's a really good point, because it's like, it really isn't an extra step. And people really like like that's happened to me too, where people, it really is like it takes from them. Like they are exhausted looking at me, you know, like every time, like, yeah, bitch, like it's not that hard.
No.
Put it on the table.
I know. And they're like, oh, you probably don't drink. I'm like, no, I almost drink every day. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So I just take my glass, no matter if it's a champagne glass, a wine glass, or a cocktail glass, I still set it on the scale. Like that's what just baffles me. It just gets to me. And then a lot of people think we seriously work out for like 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, who? I don't have time for that. Like yeah. I go to the gym, I work out for an hour and I go home. Like, no. But then the other thing that frustrates me so much is when they're like, oh, well, you know, what's a good TV series? I'm like, TV? Like this thing, we have to turn this thing on to make sure it even works sometimes, because it's never turned on. Like we're always on the go. And so that's what I tell a lot of people.
Unless it's Sunday at 8 p.m. because then there's Yellowstone and that we all have
time. Yes. Yes, that too.
And that's it.
Yeah. But then when that series runs out, you're like, well, this is boring. What do we do?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. All the time. But
so along the road that we've been working together, one of the things that I like about your story is that it wasn't just figuring out how much food, it was figuring out the kinds of foods.
Right.
Because there's throughout the process itself, there's just a lot of things that don't sit well with you.
Right.
And figuring out what things you could eat to make sure not only you were going to get the outcome, but still that we're not going to cause any kind of bad or negative responses was a little bit tricky.
And right.
I don't think that if we didn't talk every single day, we would have ever figured that out.
No. And sometimes I wonder if we even got it figured out, because I'll send you something and you're like, okay, be careful. I'm like, son of a bitch. He knows like how this is going to react. And then afterwards I'm like, nothing. And you're like, okay, we're going to note that. Like what happened? I don't know. But yeah, that's another thing. Cause I say that just not all the
time. I remember sitting with you and Sean, your husband, at dinner when you first started working with us, cause you guys are out of Tennessee and you happen to be in Florida, and we went to dinner, and I remember you talking about that. Like, you know, I have a lot of sensitivities too, which has taken us years of a lot of like trial and error and data collecting to figure out. I think when someone goes on a journey, all they think about is either how many pounds they're going to lose because they're right. really attached to the scale, or how they want to look, especially a journey right. to the States, right? But I think in right. general, like that's really always the motive, at least 90% of the time, unless God forbid someone's sick, right?
Oh yeah.
You want to lose X amount of weight, or you want the scale to say something specific, or you want to look a specific way. No right. one ever thinks about how they're going to feel, how many more years they're going to be able to be alive, how much more efficient they're going to be at their job or their everyday or as a mom, because they're fed and because right. they have mental clarity and because they feel good. No one even realizes how bloated they are and how just uncomfortable and how foggy and how tired. We just keep going. Right. And I think every once in a while, like there are people who do realize, and you were one of those people, that yes, you want an outcome, but there are other things that are really important that would really change your quality of life. Because
right.
as somebody that experiences the same things in terms of the food sensitivities and the bloat and stuff like that, it's really uncomfortable.
Right.
And there are a lot of times where you feel like so frustrating, like I can't eat anything normal, or like
yep.
debilitating because you're so in pain and you're uncomfortable. And it's like, you went on this journey to look a certain way, but you were also aware that this was a massive win once you started to realize that you guys had figured it out.
Oh yeah,
and I think
for
more
sure.
people should think about other things other than just the way they're going to look with a number on the scale. Like right. sometimes people's hormones are out of whack. Sometimes people's gut is out of whack. Like there's so many things that happen, but like you always say, that's not sexy, right? Like no one wants to say, hey, I can fix your gut. Like, I don't give a shit. Like how many pounds can right. you make me lose?
Right.
But it all matters, you know, how yeah. you feel matters so much more. And then if right. on top of it, you're good, then great. But I think that was such a massive win with you guys. I know it's a never ending trial and error, but
right.
you get 80% of the way there and it already feels
good. Even yesterday, she took a bite out of a cookie and she knew
immediately
that it wasn't going to be a good idea. She still ate yeah. it, you know, yeah. like she knew that first bite. She's like, this is bad.
Oh yeah, I say it all the time. I'm like, I know I should not be eating this. I know this
like
is
the moment. And some cookies are fine, but it depends on the oil that's in it. And in the moment it like hit my stomach, I was like, I'm going to have a reaction. And I,
And I think that that's the misconception. Sometimes people hear things and they take it out of context. It's not that the cookie was bad. It's that particular cookie
just
wasn't whatever is in it or whatever is in that brand or whatever, like just doesn't sit right with her. So it's not don't eat a cookie, just don't eat those cookies.
Well, it was a butter cookie with cookie butter in it. And I know that some butters are not butter. They are like margarine, and margarine have oils that are mixed in, and oils are not good for me. Right. But it's like, I just bit a cookie. Like, I'm not like, well, what oils are in here? Like, I didn't say, oh, this is a butter cookie. That's probably a problem. Like, cause I could eat Chips Ahoy all day. Like, nothing's gonna happen to me. But anyway, back to you, like, it was such a win, you know, for you guys to have at least a lot of that figured out.
Right. It still is a win to this day. And it just, it keeps going. But like, it was a couple of weeks ago when I texted you and I was like, okay, I don't understand. So I can't drink anything carbonated, but I can have champagne. But why
is the only champagne, one that matters?
I'm like, but why does champagne not have a reaction, but red wine does? Like, and then it's, you know, it's always a battle. But when you guys post like Tuesday transformations, you know, people, I'll get messages. They're like, oh my gosh, how much weight have you lost? I'm like, that was 7 pounds. Like, but people don't understand, you know, it's not about the scale, my super best friend. It's like how your clothes fit and what puts on. I mean, how many times have I sent Lace you pictures and I'm like, holy shit, this is my daughter's dress. Like, it's crazy, but my kids hate it, but I love it.
The scale, people need to understand that the scale and a body transformation don't really go together.
Right.
Right.
The scale really only matters, again, if God forbid you're sick and you need to get in a certain range of your weight, if you need to make weight for a fight, if you need to make weight for a bodybuilding show,
just or honestly,
it's your thing
to know,
but it doesn't it doesn't equal like the body transformation that you want, you know, because the same thing, like Bree's a great example of that. We say it all the time. She's been the same weight for years now, but she looks completely different
than when she started.
Yeah. So the weight is really,
So along the journey, just to bring it back to our path to that first show, like it wasn't smooth sailing like some people think, that you wake up and work out and you just go about your day, eat all your food. Like, we had to navigate through a lot.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it?
What a dream.
How did you navigate through like all the things that you have happening for that first show? And then we'll talk about the second show.
I don't even know. Sometimes I don't know how I make it through every day or every week. But again, always making this the priority and then everything else comes last. Like, my husband always says, you need a to-do list for a to-do list. Like, you just, because no matter my to-do list, there could be a million things on it and I don't even need to write working out down and it just happens.
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to meal prep. I'm like, okay, well, it takes me not even an hour on Sundays. Like, seriously, make a whole bowl of freaking rice. Oh, you don't want rice this week? Then make potatoes, like something. It's just so easy. I am always on the go. I am very rarely at home, even though I work from home. And so when everything is mapped out, and it's easy. Like, some people think that you have to make like these gourmet meals. No, I eat filet every single day. Every single day. I know it works. I love it. And yes, I'm a steak snob. And so it costs me a lot of money, but it doesn't even matter because it works. But it's so easy. So, so easy. And so that's when there are numerous people who are like, well, I don't have time. Okay, well, if I have time to do it, I know you have time to do it because I'm all over the place. And you've seen, I mean, we have hockey tickets. And before that, my God, we got custody of my nephew who's 7. My youngest is 14. That was like starting all over again. So then I had 4 children and I had a 7-year-old who isn't independent like my girls are. And yeah, that put us through a whirl for sure.
Right.
But then we had spring break and we had summer and we had my birthday and all these things that you navigate around. And that's what I love, because I can literally just send you a schedule. And I'm like, okay, this is how it's going to be. And sometimes you'll be like, hey, we're going to switch days, or okay, go for it today and we'll fix it after that. And so that's what makes it easy. But there's a lot of people who just feel like they don't have time, and you just have to make time.
Right.
It does not consume me all day, every day.
Nobody has time for something they don't want to do, right?
Period.
It just doesn't work. But you're right. The food prepping is so simple and it's so fast.
It's so easy. So yeah. Easy. And everybody's like, oh, I need a rice cooker. No, no. Do you have a pot? Because it works the same.
We decided to do this show in August, which ended up being the biggest show of the year. How was that whole experience for you? From getting to that, to the hotel and checking in and like, shit, this is really happening, all the way to that moment when you actually get on stage. How did all that play out for you? Yeah,
How did World's Weekend feel for a first show?
When you walk in and you're like, oh, all these people are competing, like this is something serious. So that was different, I don't even want to say it was stressful, because at that point it wasn't. Anxious for sure. Nerves, simply because, yes, I've been on stage before in a beauty pageant, but nothing like this. I think that was the hardest part. So you were excited, and then it was also scary.
Yeah.
For sure, because all these women there have done it a million times, even people on our team who were there, which our team makes it so easy for everybody. But so that was different. But being there for the week, that was probably the most difficult.
Yeah.
Because you're like, go ahead.
No, how did it go? When you finally are getting ready for your stage moment, right? That you put on your bikini.
You're backstage
and it's go time. It's ready to get on stage. Were you having like a jittery moment? Were you nervous? Were you anxious? Were you having second thoughts?
Second thoughts, no. Jittery and nervous, absolutely. Absolutely. But even the WBFF staff, you know, they're like backstage and dancing and like trying to keep everybody not from leaving. So I was fine until you were in line and he's like, you ready? And you're like, nope, no, I'm not doing this. But you know, before, there's so much prep that goes into it. Like, we're constantly doing the walkthrough. So obviously you could do it in your sleep, you know, with all the posing. But the second I stepped out on stage, I think I was fine. I don't remember when I like stepped in front of everybody on the stage and took control, if that was fitness or bikini. And I don't remember any of it. Like, I completely blacked out. And I was like, I texted my husband when I got backstage. I'm like, oh, please tell me you did not notice me shaking so bad. And he's like, no, I didn't notice at all. I'm like, oh, it was terrifying. And he's like, yeah, but you're done. I'm like, no, I have to go out on stage 3 more times. it was exciting. And then afterwards, you're like, holy shit, I just did that.
Yes, that is the best feeling. I had a similar feeling my first show. I blacked out, but I got off stage 2. And at first you're just like, you have so much adrenaline and you're like, holy shit, thank God I'm done. And then you're like, holy shit. Just did that. That is exactly the feeling.
Well, and then afterwards, you know, when we all leave and we took our stuff up to our room, we come down and everybody's like, are you Tiffany from Nashville? I'm like, yeah. Like, can I get a picture with you? And you're like, this is so weird. It's like celebrity status. Sure. Yeah.
I love it.
So the weekend kind of played out. You go to Worlds, you do that first show. And one of the things that we've said over and over on the show is that a lot of times when somebody takes on this goal or this journey, like, the goal is always to make it. Like,
right.
Let's set out to get there and to do the thing. And then whatever happens after, right? But you know, you don't know what that is until you've done it.
Yeah.
So as you're packing up your bag back and you know, getting ready to exit because the show's over, like, what's going through your mind?
When's the next one? What happens after this? I don't even know. But I think that was the main thing. You were like, I mean, besides all of us, you're like, I need a drink. I need a straight martini because this is exactly how we're going to celebrate this thing. I think the best part of the entire week and weekend, even though the week was difficult because, I mean, you're in Vegas, right? So I'm with my husband who can eat and drink whatever he wants. And he's like, as he's eating like French fries and pizza, he's like, babe, I'm so sorry. Or like when we go somewhere and get a drink and he had to do something, he's like, here, can you hold my drink? And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, sure. So I think him himself put me through my own testament, but the photo shoot was phenomenal. And then when we had check-ins in the room and you're like, you haven't eaten what you're supposed to eat today. I'm like, oh yes, I have. Like, I promise you. And you're like, I'm like, you need to say something. Like, I do the same thing with my husband. Like, you just sit and think. And I'm like, can you talk out loud? Like, I need to hear what you're thinking. Like, please. Like, I'm just standing here in my bikini and you need to say something. And you're like looking at your phone. And then you're looking at me and Laisa's looking at me. I'm like, okay, somebody needs to say something. So you're like, you need a cheeseburger and French fries. And I could not get my heels off fast enough. Like, it was just like, I didn't even care. Well, I think we had check-ins at what, 10 o'clock at night? Yeah. And I didn't get a cheeseburger and fries until midnight. And I was like, we went downstairs and ordered it. And my husband's like, do you also want my fries? I'm like, oh, he did not tell me how much. Yes. I'm eating all of your fries, all of my fries. The people next to us, they probably need to hurry up and eat because I'm about to eat all of theirs. And so that was the best. And so that just took us right into show day. But I even think show day, you don't have time to, there's no time to think, process, or be freaked out. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's like fast paced by any means backstage, but you're like in awe, right? So you're in awe of not only the people on your team, you're in awe of everyone that's back there, all of the different bikinis. And you're like, holy shit. Like, we all didn't go through the same designer. And none of them are the same, no matter how many women are back there. And it was just, it was awesome.
But I'll tell you really quick, the burger thing is important because there are two types of people. There's a person that runs to get the burger. And then there's a person that's like, oh, are you sure?
Oh,
is this going to mess up my progress? And those people piss me off because it's like, we got this far with doing exactly what he's saying.
Yes.
Now you're going to second guess it.
Yeah.
You know, and sure enough, you looked amazing on stage, like just flawless. It was so, so cool to watch. I'm so happy that I got to watch that show too.
I know.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. It is a massive stage. It is a massive show. It is a packed week. You jumped right into the biggest show of the year. But I think it worked out really well. I agree with you. The photo shoot in the desert was amazing. Those in-room check-ins are all fun. Like,
they
just
are.
An amazing week, but you rocked it. Like, first show or 10th show, like, it didn't matter. Like, you went up there and rocked it and you looked 100%, amazing.
100%.
Thank you.
And we left that show trying to figure out when your next one would be.
Right.
Because the only one that lined up schedule-wise was this last one, this Atlantic City one.
Mm-hmm. But, well, and it wasn't really even, tight. I wasn't going to come.
Really.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my daughter has a cheer comp. Am I an awful mom if I don't go to this cheer comp and I go compete? And that was so stressful, but it ended up working out.
Even that, like, honestly, like, at the end of the day, everyone says that this is a really selfish sport because you've got to do so much for you, right? But I also think that we should all try to reframe that a little bit because it becomes what we were talking about before. It's like, if you're doing this for you, how else are you showing up? You know?
Yeah. And, right.
And I think that the selfish part becomes in the day-to-day stuff, where as parents, you're always doing for the kids or for other people. And then the moment that you do something for you, it comes across as selfish.
Yeah.
But if you really, really look at it, it's not. Because if you're doing something for you, that's for you. great. But if you're doing something for you that pays dividends to everybody 100%. Else, then I would say it's probably not.
And I think it's very similar to how people view like marriage, right? Like, for example, whether it's church or not, right? Everyone says that in an ideal world, your spouse comes first and then your kids, right? I truly believe that because I believe that the spouse, if that's the person that you're with, is the foundation of that family. Right. And so a lot of people are like, no, like my kids come first and then my spouse, right? And you've been married how many years? 20 something?
18.
18, right? Years. Same. Like, you know, like you are one of the rare people that really prioritizes their marriage and really right. has a solid relationship with their spouse. You right. really have three teenage kids. You prioritize your husband and your relationship.
Right.
I don't like, it's not that it needs to be above, but it is just as important, right? Right. Where like, I grew up with my dad, my parents saying, well, you know, the spouse is a stranger. The kids are your blood. Like kids always come first. I disagree with that because the spouse is actually the only person in your life that you get to choose. You don't right. get to choose your kids. I don't even make them. You don't get to choose your parents. You don't get to choose anything other than your spouse. And it's like, they're a priority, right?
Right.
Not like, oh, the kids are priority. So same thing with self, right? It's like, I am a priority. And yes, my husband and my kids, all three of us are on this one equal line. It's not right. that I have to come first, but I also don't have to come last. Like right. my well-being, my goals, my dreams, my stuff matters. My show matters just as much as your, you know, cheer comp. Because right. we matter because all three of us, right? The kids, spouse, and myself, are right. all on the same level. I don't know where parents, especially moms, get this like, well, my kids have to come first. Otherwise I'm a bad parent. When it's like, if you also don't come on the same line as them, then right. you're doing a disservice to you. And what example are you setting?
Right, you know, I was just gonna say that. Like when your kids are your age, they don't need to be, like we say all the time, like we'll go somewhere and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hate seeing obese children. It bothers me to no end because there is no reason for it whatsoever. And so my kids see it all the time. All that mom works out every single day. Do I drink? I do, but I also take care of myself and I take care of everyone else. So if me prioritizing myself by working out every day, watching what I'm eating, going and competing, if that's selfish, so be it. Because this, exactly. and my husband and my kids say all the time, if it wasn't for me, there is no way this family would function. There is no way. So I have to, because it is so consuming with three kids. I mean, I have one that's about to leave for college and it sucks. I have another one who cheers competitively on two cheer teams. If anybody knows what that's like, not only does it cost as much as a freaking mortgage, but she is cheer every single day. When they have cheer comps, you have to pull them out of school on Friday. Well, I don't just have one kid, so they all have to be pulled out of school. We all have to travel. Everybody has to pay for it. And it's just like, it's a lot. I have, our youngest is golf. Well, that's time consuming because there's so much that has to go into it for them to do. So I am completely selfish when it comes to me and my workouts, and they all know, everybody at the gym laughs. Like they even tell Sean if once in a blue moon, he comes to the gym with me, but they'll say like, when she comes in, as soon as she puts her AirPods in, it's just like, everybody's like, don't fuck with her. Like she just wants to get in and get out because there's so much to do that I don't have time to sit and talk to people. And then there's other people at the gym who will get mad at me because let's say we have our supersets, everything's timed, you know? And I'm like, I can't, like I'm doing rows. I'm like, you can talk, but I can't stop. Like, and they're like, she's, you know, one guy there, he's like, God, she's such a stuck up bitch. I'm like, whatever, buddy. Like, dude, you're like 80 years old.
I'm a stuck up bitch, so fuck you.
Yeah.
But you know, like the selfish thing is important because it's like, look at that. Like you're all a team. Like your daughter's right. selfish for doing her cheer and the other one for doing right. golf. And you for like, everyone should be a little bit more selfish, you know, if it's for their well-being. And it's
I also
not.
Think that it doesn't say a lot. Like, you know, the kids all have a thing, right? Junior does karate. Right. And we often talk to adults that don't do anything. You know, right. they just don't, they've lost themselves inside of the kids doing something. This becomes such a cool thing for you to do as an adult, and it only contributes to your well-being.
Right.
You know, so one of the things that we've been preaching a lot lately is that, like, as an adult, we all disregard how little we participate in things that are extracurricular outside of work and family, that when you do find something that you enjoy and honestly just pours back into you, then you should go all the way.
We all deserve to be fulfilled, and we all deserve to, you know, reach our potential, and our kids are all going to leave. Like you said, you have one leaving for college, and then what? That's one. Right. And two, someday our kids will most likely possibly be parents. And then what kind of life are they going to live because of what they saw us do? You know, so it all matters, from the healthy habits to setting goals and to striving to do more with your life. Insert thing that this brings. It's a good example for the kids.
Absolutely.
So you did worlds.
So circling back. So when we talked about doing the show, like one of the things was how many things were on the docket.
Right.
And
the second show.
For the second show. So it seemed more like it wasn't going to happen.
Right. Even up to like a month before, I was like, I've got everything. I'll just use it next year when I compete.
Right. So how did you, how did you navigate around that to kind of pull it together? And how did you also stay the course, even though it wasn't 100% sure? Cause that's easy to like for somebody to fall off.
Yeah. So to say staying the course, sometimes I feel like I fall off the wagon, but like Sean says, so like, if you tell me, okay, you can have 5 ounces of wine, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm having 10. He's like, you feel like you've totally ruined everything. Or like, if we'll go out to eat and I'm like, shit, I forgot the scale. I probably just ate 6 ounces and he told me to eat 4. Sean's like, seriously? But like, a lot of people go the extreme of falling off, where I think those little things is falling off, you know?
Right.
But yeah, going up to it, I was like, okay, wait a second. It's hockey season and now you want me to go to a Preds game and not drink? Like, you want me to have a Tito's and not two? And so that was totally different, but oh my God, navigating everything. I was ready to pull out the whole time. We started at, I guess, right after Worlds, but I remember us saying, all right, we got 16 weeks. And I was like, oh, 16 weeks, that's like a lifetime. And then you're like, oh shit, we're at 10 weeks. And then you're like, holy cow, like we only have 6 weeks left. And to a lot of people, they're like, that's a month and a half. And you're like, no, you don't understand. Like, to somebody who competes like me, that's tomorrow. Cause there's so much that, I hate to say there's so much that goes into it, but it's the fun stuff. It's the designing the bikini and designing the gown and going and shopping for it. But the one thing, the one thing that got me totally on board was coming for the photo shoot and the weekend, for sure. I was like, I'm totally doing this. We're not going to back out now. So, but then we get there and I get sick the second I get off the plane. And now you're like, okay, we've now prepped for 2 shows. I've never had to take medicine or see how any of this reacts. And you're like, okay, now we're going to take meds before you
we're
step
gonna
on
here.
on show week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I remember she texted me in the morning. She's like, I'm taking this and this. And I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to take those together.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I already did. So hopefully this doesn't react badly. Sean's like, well, good thing you didn't take it with champagne. I was like, I probably should have. That maybe would have diluted something.
And you know, it's funny because we're totally oversimplifying it, but you were planning on going to Atlantic City, like flying and doing the show, finishing the show and flying back out to go and then drive to make it to the cheer comp.
Yeah, I was going to fly. So we flew into Philly, drove to Atlantic City, and then I was going to compete, have a drink with you guys as soon as we got off stage, drive back to Philly, fly into Nashville, and then drive to Louisville, which is another 3-hour drive to see my daughter compete.
Wow. Literally over, because the show doesn't really end till like 11 at night, right? Midnight.
Right.
Yeah. And we had to have been at the airport at 2 a.m.
Right. And you were going to do it all. You were going to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted to give the details, because too often people will stop something, give up on something, or not even start something because of a small interruption. Not even like all of the things that had to happen inside of 48 hours, like something small will interrupt somebody or not even allow them to get started. And they don't realize that all you got to do is just keep going.
There's always a way to make it work.
Like, go through it.
Yep. You weren't going to miss your daughter's cheer comp, but you also weren't going to miss your competition.
Right.
You just make it all.
You can do it all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My oldest daughter, who is 17, we don't really allow her to drive on highways. And I was like, you have to take your sister. And she's really good. We've raised our girls that family is everything, because I was raised in a broken family. And I was refused to raise my kids that way. So they drove to Louisville Friday. I let all my kids skip school on Friday. Bad parent. So they drove to Louisville on Friday. And then our best friends were also there because they have little girls who cheer. So I got them their own hotel room, but she's 17, so she can't check into the hotel room. So they checked her in. So they had their own hotel room. And she called me on Saturday and said, Mama, you don't have to worry about coming. So I got somebody to cover my shift because she was going to have to work on Sunday. So that's why we were going to have to go up there. And I freak out when I miss my kids' things. Like, Sean's like, she has like 17 more cheer comps this year. Like, it's okay if we miss one. Well, the one I missed, they hit and they got grand champs. And so it's like, sometimes you just miss those things, but it would have saved us because we were exhausted. And it just happens that way. Sometimes you have to miss certain things, but the only reason why I never want to miss anything is because before you know it, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Not that they'll never come home, but she's not going to be a cheerleader in college and after that. And so you never want to miss out on anything. But if I don't participate in what I want until then, I'll be 45 years old before I even start anything. And we tell Sean all the time, and we work our tails off and we're so busy, we can't even breathe and we're bombarded with work and nobody wants to work. But anyways, that's a whole different podcast. But, our goal is once the baby who's 14 moves out, I'm not working this hard. I'm not doing this. Like, if my kids move all over the country, when one person has something, we're flying there. Like, I'm dropping whatever it is. And, I didn't have that luxury. Now my dad my dad was at Vegas. He was not at this show because he had his knee operated on, but my aunt was there. And she's just like I just told my dad last night, I'm like, so we talked about it and I'm going to compete in June again next year in Orlando. And it's an hour from his house. So he's like tickled pink. And my aunt's like, what are the dates? I'm like, I don't know what the dates are yet. So it's just awesome to have that, but you just can't ever stop anything because life, anything could happen, anything. Yeah. And so that is my biggest thing is when people are like, man, I wish I had your time. I'm like, you have no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So we're road tripping family. And so on our road trip, we watch you guys' this podcast. We watch your videos, Coach, when you did the Clash one and all that. My husband was like, you should do this. And I'm like record myself throughout the day. He's like, people have no idea how busy you are. And I'm like, I would need like a GoPro. Like, I'd have to wear a hat with like a GoPro because I don't have time to like walk around with my phone at all times, you know?
But well, it's funny to say that because we are obviously nonstop and super busy too. And you have no idea how hard it is to capture the little bit that you're able to capture.
Correct.
Right. Because it's like those YouTube series are amazing. I love doing them. And I even have Bree to help record and he helps record. And, you know, I record myself, but it's like, it's not even a quarter of what we do. Like it's impossible to like,
I know
it's a full-time job to record, you know, cause you're trying to do the thing. And next thing you're like, shit, I didn't record any of this. Like,
I know,
but I do think that it certainly breathes perspective for the person that's like, oh, I don't have time. It's like, you do have time.
You have plenty of time.
Yeah, you're just not positioning it in a way that, you know, you feel like you should do this. Yeah. You know, a lot of times people want the outcomes. They want to look better. They want to feel better. They want better health. but it's such at the end of the list. Yeah. You know, yes. It's sometimes not even on the list. And right. It's never going to happen that way.
Yeah.
Right. Know? Well, and the other thing is like food, you know, people are like, when you get other people who are on low carb, they're like, what do you eat? I'm like, I eat carbs 5 meals a day. Like five meals a day. And they're like, seriously? I'm like, yeah. Like when he takes carbs away from me, I'm like, what did I do? I don't understand. Yeah. And then it's crazy. And I have a girlfriend of mine. She's like, everywhere we go, she gets a salad. I'm like, after I compete, that's what I run for is the salad. Like I don't know. It's meat and carbs all the time. And she's like, but it's perspective. That is for sure how people look at this, and it's consuming, but it's not.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. I even have friends who have little kids. I'm like, does your kid like to ride a bike? Yeah. Go outside and walk with them.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
People definitely like to overcomplicate things
But like, what's an hour a day? Seriously. Yeah. An hour every single day. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. But
I don't either.
I just don't get it.
So, like you said, so next on the docket is a show in June for you.
Yeah.
And did you leave the show knowing that, all right, I'm doing another show? Like, there's no way that I'm not doing another show. It just depends on when.
Correct. And I, like even Sean said, I'm like, I just need a break. Simply because it was different, right? We had two different
preps.
And yeah. So like I was telling Sean, I'm like, sometimes I need Lais to be my coach because you're like, listen, two different preps, just trust the process. And I need Lais to be like, listen, bitch, this is what we're going to do this time because we didn't like it last time.
Listen, there's a reason why he does the coaching and not me, okay? Because that sounds like a good idea, but it wouldn't work.
Right. But you need to be like, hey, okay, Lais is going to communicate with you today and I'm not, because she needs to be like, okay, this is why we're doing this.
We can definitely arrange that. And now that I have it recorded, I can always play it back to you if you
Be like,
who asked for this?
Yes. You fucking hate leg day. Well, guess what? This is why you're doing it. So yes, I knew I was gonna compete again, but I had said I was gonna take a break. And I knew I wasn't gonna do the April one, but that we were gonna come to the April one in Orlando, just because they're a blast to go to. And again, we have the photo shoot. Everything we do is a team. And that's what I continue to tell everyone, like everybody who comes and talks to me, I'm like, oh my God, if you want to do this, you have to get a hold of them. Like it's totally different than anybody else. And we've had a couple people join through you guys, but the first question you get when everyone says, so what's next? You're like, well, I'll compete again. I just don't know when. I'm going to take a little bit off. And you're like, oh, training. Oh no. Yeah. No, I don't know how to not train. No, I'm going to continue to measure my food and train, because it's structure, it's lifestyle. And then somebody who has a sensitive stomach, just like us, it makes life so much more simple.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So what is next?
Yeah. So June, and then we just keep going.
Yes.
I can't wait to, but it's like coach, you said yesterday, you know, we leave the 15th to go on our road trip for 10 days and then, or 9 days. And then after that, we have another trip, and then it's New Year's Eve, and then it's January already of 2023. I can't believe it. But and then again, we'll sell this house and we'll start to build the next one. So there's a lot of hurdles next year also, but
it never stops.
You just have to make it through it.
You navigate through all of it, because life doesn't stop. You know?
Yes.
And it's one of the things I say day one, everybody. You got to go into this knowing that nothing's going to change in terms of life continuing to flow. You just got to navigate through it. You know, just because somebody's has the goal of doing this doesn't mean that everything else is going to stop, or that it should. You know, it's just that, you know, you've got to be flexible in the approach.
Yeah.
You know, which honestly leads me to my next question, which is for the person listening or watching that, you know, and we ask this all the time, that is on the other side saying, you know, I wish I could, I just don't have time, or I've always wanted to do one of those. You know, what does this version of Tiffany that's done two shows now say to that person on the other side?
Oh, do it. You just have to go for it.
Yeah.
I think the biggest reward is the pictures and video afterwards, of course. But just looking at yourself in any mirror, for sure, you're just like, yes, yeah. Or like going in, I used to hate going clothes shopping. Hate it. We would go shopping for jeans. I'm like, I hate it. I'm just gonna wear leggings. I hate this. And now I'm like, oh, are we going shopping? I'll just go in my daughter's closet. But yeah, it's just, I get asked all the time. People are like, oh, what do you have to do? I'm like, I just have to check my email. They're like, seriously? I'm like, no, they're a blessing. Like we literally, I just gave them a credit card and I get my plan and my workout. And I just have to do what the paper says. But a lot of times that's so difficult for people. So difficult. But
it really is.
Yeah. But like my girlfriend from the gym who just signed up, I'm like, are you going to compete? And she's like, I don't know about competing just yet. And I was like, oh, we're going to get you hooked.
You see, now you're on this side. Now you know.
Yeah. I'm like, you have to do a photo shoot weekend. So yeah. And then her husband has surgery, what they say, April or something, or is it January?
I think so.
Holy cow. He's down 270 pounds or something.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Oh, we're going to get him on stage too. Don't you worry.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I know.
I'm so excited to see everything that we create for you between now and June in terms of like the physique, the bikini, the gown, like posing. It's really amazing to get on stage for the first time. Like it's so life-changing. But I also find it really cool when someone continuously evolves through that journey, because then you can constantly like step out of the box and just create something new. And that's really like where the magic happens. And this third prep is going to be completely different than the first two. Like no two preps are ever the same.
Right.
And life never stops for any of us because we're prepping. And, you know, all we do is just keep showing up every day. You've done just that. And it's obviously the results of how you look and how you feel speak volumes of just doing the work.
Right.
In this way, like with drinking, with social time, with being busy, you're a mom, you're a business owner, you're a wife, like all the things, you're busy, you know? So
yeah.
Amazing.
And you're not 21, like everyone says.
God, I wish I was sometimes.
No, you don't.
Sometimes we pretend and it doesn't ever work out that way. And then you text coach, you're like, I don't think I'm getting 5 meals today. No.
Yeah. I hear you. So my last question is, what was the most like impactful part of this journey for you, this whole process, the stage, like the entire journey so far? What was the most impactful thing to you?
I think the outcome. The outcome for sure, but it's fun, the process. And then being with you guys and Team Forever, like, you know, we have daily posts and we have groups and everyone encourages everyone.
Yeah.
And so that's the best thing. It's like, before I even joined with you guys, I'm like, I need friends who have something like this in common with me because I don't have that. You know, I don't, my kids are always so busy, which during the summers, they'll work out with me. And then I wish my husband would work out with me, but when he goes to work all day long and lifts 500, 600, 700 pound windows, I know he doesn't want to come home and go work out with me. But, it's amazing how we're all different, but we all have the same thing in common. And so it's a whole different family. And that's what I try to tell everyone about our team itself, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So many sound bites. There's so many moments that I want to like go back to.
Yes.
I know.
Thank you for being on the show.
Of course.
Great to have you on the next episode after your show in June.
Yeah.
And for any of you listening, make sure that you like, subscribe, comment. We never say those things, but it's something that we're supposed to do.
Yes.
Anytime we do podcasts, so we might as well say it. And this is going to be episode number one of a series of a bunch of episodes that we are going to do back to back. So we are excited to close this season of Lights and the Coach with a bunch of interviews with all of the people that are a part of our team and our fitness family, because it's honestly like the people that we spend every day.
Yeah.
So
it really is.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
You're
for watching.
Welcome. I love you guys.
Love you.
We'll chat later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.